get in people's way, but this is a little bit different of a message here. Genesis chapter number 24, we're going to begin here, and we're going to start off with just a couple verses in verse 26 and 27, to give you some background on where we're at in the Bible, and then kind of lead you through this idea of getting in the way. Here in Genesis chapter 24, let's look in verse number 26. And the Bible says, "And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Now here's the thought there. That last phrase, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Now I want you to understand, we need God to lead us. We need God's leadership, and we need to get in a spot and a moment and be in a place where God can lead us and God can guide us. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the message today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm looking for your help, Lord. I know that the people don't need to hear from me. They don't need to hear my words, Lord. We want to hear your words, Lord. We want you to speak to people's hearts in a special way. Lord, we live in a day and age where we definitely need the wisdom of God. We need you to lead us, Lord. We need you to guide us. And I'm thankful in this story how you led the servant to Rebecca, and Lord, how he even gave you praise. It says he worshiped you because while he was doing what he was supposed to do, Lord, you led him. And Lord, that's what we're looking for as fathers and as mothers, and Lord, even as husbands and wives and even children and just Americans, Lord. We need to be led, Lord, by you. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be willing to submit. Help us to be willing to sacrifice. Help us to be willing to get to that spot where we're in the way, where you will lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give you a little background on the story. In Genesis chapter number 23, Sarah passes away. Now, this is Abraham's wife, Sarah. Now, Abraham loved Sarah. And we know Abraham as the father of Israel. We know all the different stories, but she was older. She passes away. I'm sure this breaks Abraham's heart. After loving his wife for so many years. And according to verse number 1 in chapter 24, it says, "And Abraham was old." Of course, we know he's old because he didn't have Isaac till he was 100 years old. And Isaac is probably about 40 years old right now. And he says he was old and well stricken in age. So I am sure that the burden that's on his heart, the thing that's on his mind, the thing that before he takes his last breath, he wants to find the right wife for Isaac, his son. And it's a big deal. You think about it. You know, anybody choosing a husband or wife is a big deal. We should be led by the Lord. You should be guided by the Lord, directed. And you should make sure that it's God's will for your life before you ever say, "I do," young people. Well, we think about the story here, Isaac. Isaac's not just some little person. Isaac's a big deal. You say, what's the big deal? Well, Abraham had him when he was 100. He was the miracle baby. He was the promised child. Because remember, all those times God says, "I'm going to let you have kids," and He says, "I'm going to let you have descendants as the stars of the skies and the sands of the sea. You're going to have a huge family someday, Abraham." And Abraham waited. Abraham waited. Abraham waited. Abraham failed a little bit in his faith a couple times. But he did not stagger at this. He had Isaac, the Lord blessed. He was the miracle baby in a sense, a miracle child. Abraham was about 100 years old. Sarah was about 90 years old. But it's not only that. God said, not only were you going to have a large family, but through this family, the Messiah was coming. So this is a big deal. Not only to that, God even went as far to tell Abraham that all the nations of the world or the earth would be blessed by this family. So to find this right wife for Abraham is pretty important. So Abraham has, led by the Lord, to send his servant over to back to where he used to live to be able to find this right wife. Now, I don't know about you, but this is not a job that I would want to do. Can you imagine if you were a servant here and this Abraham, your master, comes to you and says, "I want you to go many miles away and I want you to pick out Isaac's wife for him." What pressure? I mean, that's a huge amount of pressure. You think about it, it had to be the right wife. It had to be the right person. You know, so Abraham had to trust the servant, and his eldest servant, most of us would know, think he's Eleazar that we learned back in chapter, I think it's 15 or 16. But trusting him to go to the right location to find the right wife. Now, not just some wife, but the right wife for Isaac. Now, this is a huge, huge thing. Now, here's the thought. Here's what I want to get at. There's no room for failure. He's got to find the right person. When you're getting married, you think about this. Servants going over to this land, bringing him back. There's no room for oops. No room for, hey, can I get another chance? There's just no room for failure. There's no room for mistake here. Abraham is sending his servant over there, and the woman he brings back is going to be Isaac's wife, and either the servant gets it right, or everything's messed up. Now, this is what the message is about, is he needs help. What type of criteria is he supposed to? Is he supposed to look for the pretty girl? Is he supposed to look for the spiritual girl? Is he supposed to, what is it he's supposed to be looking for? He has a huge burden on his back. He doesn't know what exactly he's supposed to do. And so what does he do? And this is the idea here. And we get here in verse number 27. He says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. No, he needed help. He needed direction. He needed guidance. He needed leadership. He needed assurance. He needed peace. He needed, in a sense, a GPS that would take him right to the right girl. And you say, where are you going to find that at? See, the thing I like about this passage of Scripture, the thing that I like about this story, the thing I love about this verse, is he found it. And where he found it from. See, he needed peace. He needed guidance. He needed leadership. He needed assurance. He found it, and he found it right in the right spot when he says, the Lord led me. Now, there's a problem here that so many people use that phrase. So many people use that saying, well, God led me to do it, and there was some type of wickedness or some type of sin. The Lord didn't lead you there. You might have convinced your conscience that that's where you should go, and you might have interpreted the Bible in your own way, and that's the way, but the servant is seeing here, and he sees the results that it happens. He finds this girl. He says he worships God, and he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, here's the thought. The servant had the responsibility. The reason why I like this is because the servant says, I being in the way. See, there's no question about the capability of God. God could lead him wherever he wanted to. God could direct him anywhere he wanted to go. God could show him anything he needed to show him. There's no question about the capability of the God. But the responsibility of the servant was to be in the way. And I'm talking about getting in his way and the idea that you're being a stumbling block. I'm talking about the servant learned an important truth. He found out that there was a place. He found out that there was a spot. A location, a bullseye, if you want to say, a position that he aligned himself up with the Almighty God, and God helped him find what he was looking for. A Christian church today, I want to be in the way. I want to be in that spot. I want to be in that location. I want to be exactly in that position where God can lead me and direct me. The reason why I think this is so important for today is because, you know, we have fathers in the room. How are we supposed to father a family in the day and age that we live in when everything seems to go wild, everything seems to go crazy, and they're tearing down the responsibilities of the father, they're tearing down the families, they're doing whatever they can to get the Bible out of schools and the Bible out of everywhere. You know, I'm a father. I need to get this right. Just like the servant needed to get the right wife, I need to make these decisions right, and I need to get in that spot. I need to get in that location. I need to be in that position. I need to have the right spot where God can lead and guide me. Not only am I just a father, I'm a husband. I have a wife that I'm supposed to take care of. Not only am I a husband and a father, I'm a pastor. And you know what? Churches are under attack. Families are under attack. Marriage is under attack. And we need to get to this spot where we are in the right position and in the right place. Just like this man said, when I was in the way, the Lord led me. The Lord guided me. He showed me exactly what I was supposed to do. And the day and time that we need that is we need to say, I need to be in that spot. I need to be in that location. I need to be in that mindset. I need to have that right area so God can lead me and God can guide me. You think about it, we're Americans. America's under attack. The spiritual liberties that we face, we need God. We don't know what we're supposed to do next. We have so many people with so many agendas and so many people trying to diminish what God did, so such a wonderful thing in our country. We need Him. We need to be in the way so that God can lead us. Because I don't know in my mind what's next. I don't know in my mind what I'm supposed to do except for follow what the Word of God says. You think about it, we're Bible believers, and the Bible is under attack. What are we supposed to do in today's day? What are we supposed to do when all these things happen? We have a book that's full of guidance, a book of God's will for our lives, and when you're trying to be a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or even just a church member in this day and age, we need God to lead us. And I'm thankful there is a God. I'm thankful for this story. I'm thankful for this verse when He said, I had no idea what I was going to do. This older man, my master, Abraham, gave me a job that seemed like it was impossible. How am I supposed to choose the right girl? And we're going to look at some of the words that He gave him. This is what I want for you to do. This is what, it's sort of like He gave us a task. He gave us a job to do. And you're like, what am I supposed to do next? So this morning's message is, how to get in the way. I'm thankful we have a God that we can be in a place where He will lead us and that He can guide us. I'm thankful that we have a God that not just take us to an okay place, not just take us to the maybe it's the right place. We have a God that can take us to His perfect place for us, just as He did here. You know, the servant couldn't get it wrong. The servant couldn't say, well, maybe it's this one, maybe it's that one. The servant needed God, and he got in a spot and he got in a place. And God said, that's the one. And I think in our lives today, we need to say, I can't get it wrong. I need to live for God. I'm a husband. I need to get this right because I want my family to work. I'm a father. I need to get this right because I want my kids to turn out okay. I'm an American and I want this to turn out right because I want God's blessing. I'm a pastor. I got to get this right because I want our church to survive and to thrive. Being in the way. The Lord led me. And a lot of us might say, oh yeah, God leads me. Here's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to get in the way. And the day that we live in, we need God's leadership. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Doesn't say that it's our job to order the steps, does it? It's our job to be a good man. It's our job to be in the place. It's our job to be in the way. So we're going to look at this story. I'm going to show you three or four things about how to get in the way. First thing, to be in the way, we're going to have to be submissive. To be in the way, we're going to have to be submissive. And I want you to think about it. If this was you receiving these words from your master and your job, let's look here in Genesis chapter 24 and let's look in verses 1 through 10. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. God had made Abraham a big deal. He had tons of stuff. But his son didn't have a wife. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now, if you look at this, this is, I don't know, as a man, that's not very comfortable for me to do. Just think about it, guys. You know, we're not going to want to have to bow down to somebody and take your hand and put it underneath the thigh. That's a pretty uncomfortable spot. You know what Abraham's saying? He says, I want you to listen to me. I want you to submit to me. I know if you're willing to bow down in front of me and put your hand under my thigh, I know I can trust you. Most of us would say, hey, God, can't you just tell me your word here? Can't you just let me know? God's saying, no, no, no. I want you to get on your face. I want you to get in a place of submission. I want you to get in a spot where you're a little bit uncomfortable. And you say, so that way God can say, I want you to listen to me. Let's keep on going here. And it says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven. Once again, this is the God we're talking about. The God of heaven and the God of earth. The one who created heaven and created earth is willing to lead you and guide you if you will get in the way. That thou shalt not take a wife unto my son and the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Abraham said, look, you're going to have to make me a promise. I want you to swear to God that you will not take the wife from these Canaanites. Abraham's soul, I think, was vexed by all the wickedness and all the idolatry. He says, look, this is not right. I want you to listen to me. I'm sure Eliezer, the servant, was saying, look, Abraham, there's plenty of pretty girls around here. There's plenty of girls that Isaac can marry. But Abraham knew. Abraham said, look, I want you to be submissive to me. I want you to listen to me. And it keeps on going. He says, verse 4, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And his servant said unto him, Preadventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto the land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham's servants hearing this, they're like, what am I supposed to do? You want me to go all the way over there and find Isaac, his wife? He says, I got an idea. Why don't you let me take Isaac? You know, he's a pretty good looking guy. Why don't you let me take Isaac over there with me? Because you know, no girl is going to say, okay, I'll go with you. This guy's an old guy. And can you imagine Eliezer coming up to a father and saying, hey, look, your daughter's supposed to come back to Isaac all the way back here, many miles away. You don't get to meet him. You don't get to see him. You don't even know if he's telling the truth. And he says, no. Why don't I take Isaac with me? And if they could see Isaac, then he could have his pick. He could have his choice. But Abraham says, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be done. Look, it says verse number 6, and Abraham said unto him, beware. He says, you better get this right. Thou bring not my son thither again. Says, I do not want you to take him with you. Then he goes and he explains, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and swear unto me and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now, once again, so we have even a greater pressure. Abraham is saying, hey, look, the God that called me, he's going to send an angel, and the angel's going to tell you where to go. I can imagine his servant thinking, well, Abraham's, 140 years old. Maybe he's getting a little crazy. Maybe he's getting a little bit old. Maybe he doesn't even know what he's talking about here. I mean, we know the story, but can you imagine the servant, what he's going through? Okay, Abraham wants me to go all these miles away. He wants me to go to some pretty little girl and say, hey, will you come back and marry my master's son? God told me to tell you to come. It's a crazy thing that he's asking him to do. You keep on going, verse number 8, and if the woman will not be willing to follow, then, and this is how sure Abraham, because Abraham's being led by God to do this, thee then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning the matter. Now here's the thing. Here's the thought. You say, well, Pastor, where do you get out of the way here? The first thing, to be in the way, you're going to have to be submissive. You're going to have to listen. Abraham's servant would have never found the wife staying in Canaan. It wouldn't have happened. And you're never going to be led by God until you get in the way and say, God, wherever you lead me, wherever you guide me, whatever it is that you want me to do, then God will say, okay, you're willing to listen now. This is how I want you to do it. I don't know about you, Pastor Smart's here. I'm sure every pastor's heard this before. I know what the Bible says, but. See, we get it wrong when it comes to submission. Many times this is the spot. You know, what are you supposed to be submissive to? You got to be submissive to His Word. As a pastor, I've sat there and heard counseling, and I sat across the desk before and talking to somebody, and they say, I know you're going to open up that Bible. I know you're going to open up the Word of God. I know what the Bible says, but I can't do that and give a reason. I can't. I know the Bible says this, but this is the reason why I can't. You know what? The problem is the reason why God's not leading many of us is because we're just not submissive. I know it says that, Pastor, but I know the Bible says I'm not supposed to miss church, but I know it says I'm supposed to give, but I know it says I'm supposed to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, but you know, that's if we want God to lead us, and we need it. Don't get me wrong. This servant needed. I don't have any idea how this guy would have got Rebecca if it was not for God. And I don't have any idea how we're supposed to live in the 21st century unless we let God lead us. And the only way we're going to get in the way so God can lead us is if we be submissive to Him. And we just say, okay, Lord, this is what Your Word says. I'm going to follow it. Second thing I want you to see is, not only is it about being submissive, but to be in the way, we had to give supplications or prayers. So if you guys don't know, supplications. So this guy walks away. Abraham, sure, servant is willing to do what Abraham said because why? Abraham is the master. So he walks away, doesn't know what he's supposed to do, but let's see what he does. Look in verse number 10. Servants obedient. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw the water. So he goes, he listens, he makes the long trip. Verse number 12, and he said, O Lord God, I'm thankful we have a God we can pray to. If we're going to be in the way, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be submissive, but we're going to need God's leadership here. He's praying. He says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto thy master. You know what he does? He prays. If we want to be led by God today, I'm telling you, it's vital. There's no way we're going to succeed. There's no way we're going to live a victorious Christian life. There's no way we're going to make an impact for God unless God is leading us in this day and this age. We got to be submissive, but we got to give those supplications. We got to be praying. That's what this man does. He doesn't try to reason out. He doesn't try to figure out a way. He goes, he heads to the spot. He's being obedient. And then he says, God, I need your help. I need you, Lord. Lord, give me direction. Here's the thing, Lord. And once again, it's an amazing thing he's asking for. So this girl comes up, you're supposed to ask him for water, and on her own, she's supposed to not only give this older guy a drink, but supposed to give 10 camels drink too. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be signing up for that. I might be saying, here, look, you can use my bucket. You can use my pot. You can use whatever it is. I know you're thirsty. I hear you can have a drink, but 10 camels, they drink a lot. So what are you getting at? He's asking God to do the impossible. And that's what our prayers are. And in the day and time we live in, we need to be led by God. We need it. We can't get it wrong. We can't keep on living on our own thoughts. Can't be living on our own opinions. We can't keep on saying, hey, I can figure it out someday. No, we got to get to a spot. We got to get in the way so God can lead us and guide us. And that begins with submission. It continues with supplications. And just a little side thought here. I get tired of hearing people say, well, only thing I can do for you is pray. Sometimes I might even say that. But prayer is a big thing. Prayer is what God has told us to do. If we're going to fight for God, the way we're going to do it is through prayer. We're going to do it through His Word. We were teaching our Sunday school lesson today about fighting for our kids on our knees. If we're going to pray, I mean, if we're going to fight for our children, if we're going to make a difference, fathers, if we're going to make a difference in our kids' lives, it's going to be with prayer. And I talked about in Sunday school class, and I won't take long, but I think you get the point here. We got parents here, and we got young and old parents, some that have grandkids and some that have great-grandkids, all that stuff. And they would do anything for those kids, anything for those grandkids, anything for their great-grandkids. They provide food. They provide shelter. I tell you, a lot of the men here in our church have guns. If somebody tried to get into their house and try to hurt one of their kids or grandkids, they shoot them. Why? Because they want to protect their kids. They do all these things. I've seen parents give their kids enormous amount of time, enormous amount of things, or even just love. They do. They spend hours and hours trying to raise their kids right. The question is, do you pray? The thing that we really need to do is get on our face and pray before God. But, I mean, yes, they are willing to provide everything they need. They're willing to give them the shelter they need. They're willing to take them to sporting events, spend hours listening to things at school, even some of them raising them during their school years. So they do this and this and this and this, all these things for those kids. The kids today have so much more than what many of us had as children. But the question is, do you pray for them? I'm not asking if you provide for them. Should you provide? Yes, you should provide for them. But the question is, do you pray? I've seen parents do astronomical things for their kids just because they love them and just because they wanted to make them happy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as it's not ungodly, as long as it's not unscriptural. I've seen grandparents do wonderful things for their grandkids. But do you pray for them? Because that's what's really going to make a difference. Because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not the things we can provide, but they're mighty through God. If we're going to fight this spiritual battle, it's going to have to be on knees with our prayer by seeking God and leading God. And prayer is a big thing. This man here didn't just say some passive thing and say, okay, Lord, just lead me. No, he said, Lord, lead me, direct me. Here's all the things that I want. Lord, make this happen. We need to learn to pray. I know fathers and mothers that would protect their children, that would die for their kids. I think any man that is a man would say, I'd take a bullet for my child. If it meant my life or their life, I'd give my life up. But do you pray for them? Do you go to God on behalf of them? We talked about Jairus' daughter this morning and how he went to God when she was nigh death. He said that he besought him greatly. He begged for him and prayed for him. And I tell you, her physical need was great, but the spiritual needs of our kids today is huge. And the spiritual needs for your grandkids today are huge, and your great-grandkids today are huge. We need God to lead us. But the only way it's going to happen is if we pray. Third thing I want you to see, not only did they, was he submissive and gave supplications, the third thing I want you to see is, if you're in the way, you'll have successes. This seems like an impossible task. And you know who gets the glory here? God does, because of the impossible task. Let's look here and let's read and see what happens. Verse number 15, and it came to pass before he was done speaking. Isn't that awesome when God answers the prayer? He did it even before he was finishing his prayer. God had all this worked out because he was being faithful. He was being submissive. He was giving his prayers. It came to pass before he was done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. Look, he even got a pretty one. So I know you guys. I think God's children are all beautiful. It says that she was fair there, right? That's what it says. She was pretty. And it said God answers prayer. It's a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. I'm sure he was hoping this was the one. And said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, and she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw the water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering, you know, he is sitting back and just watching God answer his prayer. He's wondering. He says, and the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets of her hand of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be, he's praising God here. If you're in the way, you're going to have successes. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left me destitute, my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I tell you, I know some of us have struggled with this, and I'm not talking about some type of wealth prosperity gospel. That's nonsense. Go preach that to the apostles, because the apostles did not have wealth and prosperity when they were serving the Lord. I'm talking about you should have successes as a Christian. You should be living a victorious Christian life. Does that mean that you're never going to have a problem? No. Once again, you look through the Bible. There was people separated for the Lord and sold out for the God, and they had problem after problem after problem. But you will have success. You will have victories in your Christian life. And if you're in the way and God is leading you, guess what? He is leading you exactly where he wants you to go. He is what you're doing is you're lining your desires up with his desires. What does the Bible say? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Is what you're saying is, I'm lining my desires up with God's desires. I am being submissive. I am praying, and God is leading me. And whatever God wants you to do is a success. Whatever God wants you to do in this life, no matter what job it is, no matter how much money you make, no matter, it's a success, because it's what the master has made you to do. he's created you to do. I heard a preacher, most of you know I went to a conference or whatever last week. I heard a preacher that said something that convicted my heart. He said, if your desires could manifest themselves in front of this pulpit, what would they be? You think about it. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This servant was obedient. This servant prayed. He was trying to make his master happy. God gave him the desires of his heart. God led him because he was doing what was right. But I'm wondering, and I have a question for you. If your desires could manifest themselves today in front of this pulpit, what would it be? Would it be the lost hearing the gospel? I mean, is that what it would be? Is it your family's returning to God? My sad thought is, how fleshly would it be? Is the desire be a bunch of money? You know, or would the desire be some lustful creature? Would the desire be something that is fleshly and worldly, when God says we should love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, that our heart's desire should be what God's desires for us? And if it could come up, what would that be today? I tell you, that challenged me and that convicted me and said, you know what? My desires, I need them to be what God desires for my life. If I want to be led, if I want to be in the way, I'm going to have the same desires that he has for me. Because if I'm interested in going and making a lot of money, and God has a desire for me to not make a lot of money, and I'm going this way and he's going that way with my life, I'm not going to be in the way, am I? If my desire is to, use the young people, if the young people's desire is to become a famous basketball player, would a basketball hoop come up there? Would a football come up there? Would some man or woman, you know, because that's all you dream about is, you know, what would come up there? What is it that you desire for your kids? Would it be success? Would it be so they could take care of you when you got older? What is it? What's your desire there? I'm telling you that if you're in the way, you'll be prosperous. The Bible talks about that in the book of Joshua, about how if we don't let the word of God depart out of our heart, we should prosper. The Bible talks about in Psalms chapter 1, how we'll be prosperous. The Bible speaks of this, that we can have success. And this is what happens here. There is success. And when we see the success, the servant wanted to please the master. And we get to the spot in our life where we want to please the master. You know what's going to happen? That's when we're going to be in the way. And that's when God can lead us. Well, most of you know the story. I hate skipping over so much, but we need to get to this last point. You know, it all works out. Everybody's happy. Rebecca's there. Rebecca's the chosen one. They find it all out. And here's the last point, is to be in the way, you're going to have to be steadfast. So they're working everything out. In verse number 54, the Bible says, and they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning and said, send me away unto thy master. They say, okay, it's all worked out the night ahead of time. Rebecca's going to become Isaac's wife. Rebecca's going to get on the camel without even seeing Isaac, head on back. And Isaac and Rebecca are going to be married. They're going to have twins, and they're going to be the father and mother of a great nation. But there's something that happens here. They tarried there all night. They rose up in the morning, says in verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days at least 10. After that, she shall go. Now, here's saying, look, you just got here last night. You can't take her now. Let her stay for 10 days. And the servant says, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. He looks to him and says, through a whole story, you know, I got a 140-year-old master. He's got a 40-year-old son. And this. I prayed. Rebecca was the answer. He says, don't stop God's will now. Don't stop God's leading now. God's prospering us. God's leading us. God's guiding us. We're in the way. Don't slow us down. He said, prosper my way. Send me away in verse 56 that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. So you got to be steadfast. He had a plan. He had a purpose. He knew God's will. And they were trying to say, It's not an unreasonable request. You know, you're leaving. I don't know next time I'm going to see you. Spend some time with me. But that wasn't God's will. That wasn't what God wanted. The servant says, look, the Lord's been prospering us. I don't want anything to happen. I don't want anything to slow us down. I just want to keep on going because this is God's will. This is God's plan. This is God's timing. Let's get on the camels and let's head back. So what are you getting at, Pastor? Church, fathers, we need to be led by God. I sit here and I hear have people and they talk to me. They tell me problems and issues. We face things that are just mind-blowing at times in the day and time we live in. We don't even know how to handle or go the next step. What's going on in the world? What's happening in the world? What are we supposed to do? I think we need to be in the way. And we just let God lead us. And let God direct us. Let God show us. We're in uncharted territories, but thankfully we have a God that knows all things, that can do all things. We have a God that says, for such a time as this, God placed us here for a purpose, for a reason. He has a plan for us. And if we're in the way, He will lead us right through that path and that plan. The problem is, many of us aren't willing to submit. The problem is, many of us don't pray like we should. We aren't having the successes that God wants us to have. And because of that, we're not steadfast. We can be steadfast about the wrong thing. We can put our hand down and say, I'm not. Is that God leading you? Is that God leading the way? Or is that the way you want it? Because that's not the way the servant would have done it. The servant would have probably, he had to tell her, look, don't do the Canaanite. He says, well, let me take Isaac. He's like, no, you can't take Isaac. This is your way. This is my plan. This is what I want. When he was submissive, when he depended upon God, he saw success. So are you in the way today? Like I said, there's a spot. I'm thankful for this because there is a spot. There is a place. There is a position. There is an area, if we are there, that the God of the universe, the one who formed the heavens and formed the earth, the God who formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed the breath of life into the nostrils, He is willing to lead you. He is willing to guide you. He is willing to show you what He wants you to do. I think that's amazing. That's why I like this verse. And when I sat and I prayed and said, God, what would you want us to say to these fathers when they're facing a world of unknown and facing a wicked world? Many of us don't know what we're supposed to do or how we're supposed to do it. He says, look, just be in the way. Be in that spot where I can lead you and I'll take care of you. The question is, are we in that spot today? Do we have the desires that God wants us to have? Or is that thing that would manifest itself as people being saved and the gospel being given out throughout the world, reaching areas that have never been reached, the neighbors that we prayed for, the family members that we prayed for, people, would that be the desires of our heart that would manifest themselves? We don't have the successes sometimes that we want God, that God wants us to have because we're not delighting ourselves also in the Lord. He's not our first delight. Other things are our first life. He's down the list. He's not going to be led in the way that way. You're not going to be in the way. He's not going to be able to lead you that way. He's got to be first. Now, we talked about being led of God. People use that phrase all the time. And I pray that they are. But how can one person be led of God to do something and another person led of God to do something different? Somebody's got something wrong. But God's leading is always for us to know Him. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, let me encourage you to understand that God loved you so much that He sent His Son down the cross to die for you. This is not just an attachment to the end of a message. This is truth. If you want to be led by God, you need to be led by God. But the first thing you need to do is establish a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to be led by God and you want to know what to do next, if you want the God of the universe to show you and direct you and lead and guide you, you're going to have to accept Him first. Recognize yourself that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ came into the world to pay your sin debt for you. Repent of your sins and ask Him to save you. The minute we're going to have an invitation, if you're not sure if heaven is your home, let me encourage you to come forward. We'll have somebody take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can be a Christian and on your way to heaven. And then God can then begin to lead and guide you. But the first thing He's leading you to, according to what the Bible says, is salvation. He said He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what His desire for your life is. And this morning, I know we use the word father a lot. Because it's Father's Day, this is not just for fathers. We can be in the way as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, as a teenager, as a child, as a senior citizen, uncle, aunt, whoever you are. Some people get so worried about messages and, hey, that doesn't apply to you. This applies to all of us. If you want God to lead you, you're going to have to be in that spot. You're going to have to be in that way so He can lead you. I am so thankful that servant said, being in the way, the Lord led me. If you want to be led by God, let's find that spot. Let's stay in that spot. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.